Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm going to continue a series talking about how to stay positive in a negative world. And once again, this teaching is taken from our Gospel Truth seminar that we held in Phoenix, Arizona over the New Year's weekend. And I really think that this teaching is timely because a scripture that I've used every single day is Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, where Jesus said, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And I see this happening. I see it happening with many people that I listen to. And because there is so much negative news, you know, the news media never reports the positive things. Bad news sells, not good news. And so they just give you a steady diet of all of the negative things. And we are just inundated with all this negative information. And because of it, it has a tendency to make your love grow cold. Now, in my personal life, I've dealt with this, and my personal relationship with God is good. And yet I find myself sometimes discouraged and fighting discouragement, not over what's happening to me, because I've applied the Word of God and I am walking in victory and seeing good things happen. But I see it happen with other people, and I even see it happening in the secular world, in politics, in wars, and all of these kind of things. And I have had this war against me. And so I was teaching this series as much for my benefit as for yours. And I really believe that this is something that is timely for us today. So we've been taking this teaching from our Gospel Truth Seminar, and it's a different format, but I believe it's going to bless you. Today, I've already laid the foundation about how important it is to stay positive in a negative world. I've tried to lay the foundation about how that this is something that we can't ignore. It doesn't just go away. You have to actively deal with it. And on today's broadcast, what I'm going to begin to do is start talking about the importance of what you keep your mind focused on. Now, this is a teaching that I've got a lot of teaching that goes along with it, and I'm just going to be mentioning this kind of briefly on our program today. So let me just say that this could take a lot more study, and I have a lot of teaching that goes along with this that is outside of just this teaching that you'll be watching today. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15, and that scripture is talking about Abraham and Sarah, and it says, if they had been mindful of the country they came out of, they might have had opportunity to return. And what that is saying is that for them, opportunity to return was temptation to go back against what God had said. And so it's linking their temptation to what they were thinking upon. Now, that's really simple, but it's profound. Your temptation is linked to what you think on. Or here's another way of saying it, maybe that'll grab your attention, is that you cannot be tempted with something that you don't think. Now, that's an amazing statement. And that's a statement that most people haven't explored, and most people might disagree with that. But from Scripture, I really believe that's true. So therefore, we need to be super careful what we hear and what we see. What kind of information is fed to us? And I know that there's some people's reaction that say, oh, that stuff doesn't bother me. I'm mature. I can handle it. You know, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. If you think that you can just let the sewage of the world flow through your mind and through your heart and it doesn't affect you, you're deceived. I'm saying that in love. I'm not trying to condemn you, but I'm saying it's important what you listen to. So on this program that you're going to be watching today, again, this is taken from this Gospel Truth Seminar, and we're breaking right into the middle of this teaching. But I'm going to start emphasizing how important it is for you to keep your mind stayed upon God. The Lord will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed upon Him. And I believe that this is where so many people are going wrong, and this is one of the very first things that has to be done in order for you to stay positive in a negative world. You are going to have to decrease the influence that this negative world is having on you, and you're going to have to increase your focus upon God and upon the things of God. You're going to have to process all of this information that we're being fed daily and put it into perspective with the Word of God. And if you do that, I guarantee you, that's one of the very first steps. So that's what we're talking about today. I think that this is going to bless you. So we're going to go back into this teaching, talking about how to stay positive in a negative world, a teaching that was taken from our Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. Your peace is linked directly to what you think upon. And if you are finding yourself discouraged, you know, like I could take, for example, I was talking in the offering tonight about the financial situation, and they're claiming that this is the worst recession since the Great Depression. If you listen to that and if you're focused on that and hearing everything that they're saying, it's going to discourage you in the area of prosperity. It's going to discourage you from believing that this is a time to step out and begin to believe God. And you'll get this fear mentality that will cause you to start making decisions that hurt you instead of help you. This is a great time to be investing. Most millionaires that have been made in the history of this nation have happened during times of hard times when everybody else is afraid and they're selling things for 50 cents on the dollar. People who aren't operating in fear are buying and investing. And then when things turn around, and it will turn around, you know, I prophesied, I don't know if prophesied is the right word, but a year ago during December and January, I taught on these things on my television program, and I said, you hide and watch. I said, I can guarantee you by the end of 2009, this thing is going to be turning around. You will start seeing things improve, and sure enough, the reports are that things are rebounding, and that was long before Obama got in and long before a stimulus plan or anything else. Things just have a tendency of adjusting. One of the reasons that we have this financial problem in the first place is because there were so many people doing things that were contrary to sound investment. You know, in Colorado alone, they made, I think it was 10,000 loans to illegal aliens to buy houses. When you guarantee money to people who aren't even legal residents, well, you know what? You have a system that is broken and the thing needs to change. There needed to be a pop of this bubble. Things needed to change. There's always course corrections, and I was saying that things would turn around, and they are turning around. I can guarantee you that this is not the end of prosperity in the United States. This isn't a time to be pulling back. You ought to be believing God. Those of you that have faith in God, this is a great time for you to go out and buy these houses that other people are dumping. Thank you for both of those amens. I know many of you, look, you can't do that because you know why? You're afraid and dismayed. Or maybe you really are in a crisis situation because you haven't been operating in God's economy, but you can get back onto faith and you can start doing things God's way. But brothers and sisters, if you keep your eyes stayed on Jesus, you can walk on top of the very thing that's causing other people to sink. God wants to prosper you and bless you, but you're going to have to make yourself be strong and of a good courage. And you know, I believe that these meetings this week, God has laid this on my heart. I believe I'm going to say some things that are going to encourage you and help bring you out. But let me say this, you can't count on me or somebody else encouraging you. Ultimately, you are going to have to get to where, like David did in 1 Samuel chapter 30, you're going to have to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. You're going to have to get discerning enough that when you hear somebody speaking unbelief and doubt and fear on the television or the news or whatever it is, that you take a stand and you counter those things. You know, a passage of Scripture that people quote often is Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. And that verse says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, thus saith the Lord. That's a great promise, and people quote that all of the time. But notice, it says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and then it says, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment. You know what? I believe that there's a linkage there. You know how these weapons come against you? Through words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, Romans 10:17. Unbelief, fear, dismay comes through words.
And we are having people speak words that are just terrible, the things that people are saying. And Christians are so gullible. Let me just remind you of something here. Does anybody remember the Y2K stuff? Did you know that that was basically a non-issue in the non-Christian world? The non-Christian world, there was some talk about it, but the unbelievers didn't make a big deal out of that. You know who it was that amplified this? Were Christians. Christians blew this thing out of proportion. They were teaching that this was the end times. This was the beginning of the tribulation. I had a friend in Chicago that literally sold $600 worth of food stuff and weapons in his church to his people so that they could protect themselves when Y2K hit and people came to steal their food. They could protect themselves and kill their unsaved neighbors in the name of the Lord. I was on a talk show in Dallas-Fort Worth, and they asked me what I thought about it. And I said, that's a non-issue. I said, anybody who believes in this Y2K thing has never traveled around the world. Most of the world wasn't into computers the way that we were. And I said, they were just thinking that, you know, Y2K wasn't going to affect anybody in Uganda. Amen. It's no big deal. It was just people who lived in their own little world and thought that the whole world was dependent upon computers, and they amplified this. And anyway, I went on record and began to tell people over a year or 18 months out that Y2K was going to be a non-event. And did you know I had a lot of Christians get mad at me because they bought into this fear. They were ruled by fear and stuff. And I was asked on this talk show, why wouldn't you believe in this? I said, for one thing, the way that people are motivated to go out and buy this stuff and hoard and buy guns to defend themselves and all of this stuff, it's all fear-based. I said, if it was going to happen, I said, the way to prepare yourself isn't to hoard and buy a gun so that you could kill anybody that came after your food. The way to prosper would be to give. And God will bless you. I said, this whole fear-based thing, I rejected it on the fact that it was fear-based and things like this. And because of it, I was able to recognize the fallacy of it. And I started my television program January the 3rd of 2000. That's the first day that we were on television. And I had my first program. I said, if you are watching this program, then Y2K was a farce. Amen. And I came on and thought about it, and I said, and if you can't see this program, I said, you wouldn't be hearing what I'm saying, but if I'm wrong, I'll come and tell people. All of these people who's told how bad Y2K was going to be, they didn't apologize. Matter of fact, many of them said, well, they adjusted, and 8 months from now, it's going to be the same thing. It's the same thing as the guy who wrote the book about 88 reasons why God would return in 1988. And when that didn't happen, he wrote the book 89 Reasons Why He's Going to Return in 1989. And Christians bought into that stuff. You can't depend on some preacher to come through and tell you what's right and wrong. You need to find out the Word of God, and you need to get to where you can build yourself up and reject this negativism. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we are living in a non-faith oriented society. It is detrimental. It is deadly to faith. It is deadly to relationship with God. As iniquity abounds, the love of most people is growing cold because they don't know how to rightly divide the Word themselves. They don't know what the Word says. They don't encourage themselves in the Lord. I'm on television. I'm not against being on television, but I'm telling you, if you have to go to the television to be encouraged, you know, if you're in a situation like that, well, then get encouraged, but eventually get to where you can encourage yourself. You need to get to where you can build yourself up in the Lord. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 2. Here is a classic example of how the ungodly affects the faith of the godly. 2 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 6 it says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. The word just Lot here doesn't mean that he was the only one that was delivered because his wife and two daughters were also delivered. But that word, the exact same word that in the seventh verse was translated just, was translated righteous twice in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, just one verse later. So this is talking about that he delivered righteous Lot, a godly man. Lot was a godly man. And it says he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Man, that's a strong word. This says he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. In verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Man, what a classic example of what I'm talking about. When you live in the midst of iniquity, it causes your heart to grow cold unless you do something deliberately to stop this process and to counter it. And I think that most Americans today aren't even aware of how ungodly our surrounding is, how much unbelief there is. You know, I have people come to me all the time and they say, why don't we see every single person healed? And I don't have a total answer for that. I'm still learning. I don't understand everything. But I can guarantee you this, it's God's will that every single person be healed. It's God's will that we be blessed. But we live in a culture that is so full of unbelief that, you know, I think if we were looking at things properly, we would be amazed that we see as many people healed as we do. We live in a culture that is just full of unbelief. People put more faith in what a doctor has to say than what God has to say. Man, you could quote 50 scriptures that talk about healing, and yet a doctor could tell you you're going to die and you just fall apart like a $2 suitcase because the word of that doctor is more real to you than what God has to say. I'm looking at Alan and Debbie Moore down here, and they're part of our, what is it, Destiny series or something. They're on one of our videos, but he had a massive stroke, and boy, they went to the doctor, and because, see, they knew the word of God. They stood there and countered what the doctor had to say. And according to all of the tests, one-third of his brain isn't even working. And yet you're alive and well and walking and talking. Stand up and let them see a man that is supernaturally healed. Isn't this awesome?
My husband and I have an awesome story to tell. Alan and I have been married for 18 years, and we have been partners and friends with Andrew for about 4 years, and we have been intently studying the Word.
We have just been going over and over again, Christian survival, the teaching by Andrew.
He has really spurred us on to know more about living in the spirit realm more than the natural realm. We have intently been listening to Andrew, listening to the teachings, getting that revelation to become our revelation.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, let not your heart be troubled.
July 15th, 2009, we came home from work and we work a 10-hour shift and we work at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And it was about 104 degree temperature out there in July here in Texas. And Alan had popped his head in the door over there and he said he was going to go out and move some dirt. And said he'd be fine. And I felt like the Holy Spirit really was prompting me to go outside. So I ran down the driveway to find Alan on the ground, and he wasn't answering me. So when I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him, and I says, you are not going to leave me.
After that, she goes and calls 911. I hear the ambulance is coming. Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
They then announced to me that he had had a major stroke. And Dr. Shindori became our doctor at that time, and he was giving me the worst case scenario. One-third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke in the right side of the brain. which controls the left side of the body.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
It just never moved me.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
And I realized that all that we had put in was now coming to benefit. It was all coming to fruit, you know, that we had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free. All I had to do was stay with what I believed. I had to stay with my report. And my report trumped over their report every time.
Mrs. Morway, she didn't flinch, and she didn't seem to understand.
She was putting into practice the teaching that we'd had about harnessing your emotions. And so because she wasn't moved emotionally, they said, this woman doesn't understand.
And I said, yes, sir, I do. I said, I understand. I said, but by the stripes of Jesus, he's been healed and made whole. And he smiled at me and kind of gave me that little nod. And I said, you watch.
One day I just got up and was going to go use the bathroom, and all the things that they'd hooked me up with just were falling off me. And
I walked into the room, and there's three big nurses standing around Alan, and they want to know how he got where he went.
I said, I don't know how you do it, but I walk.
And they said, but Mr. Moore, you don't understand. You don't walk. And he said, I don't.
And the ninth day, he went home basically walking.
Dr. Shinjori showed Alan the large, massive stroke that he had had, and he said to him, all I can say is that your head does not match your body. He says, I don't understand it. He says, I don't understand anything about this. He says, but your head does not match your body.
I never saw anybody with that big stroke, with also clear-cut blockage of the blood vessel, going out of the hospital in 9 days, just walking.
And so we just believe that 1 Peter 1:5 says that Alan's been kept by the power of God through faith. And he walks around today perfectly normal. He works a 10-hour shift 4 days a week.
Thank you for calling Kenneth Cope Ministry Prayer Line. My name is Alan. Who am I praying with?
He's on the prayer line praying for people, speaking that word over them, giving them life.
In Jesus' name, amen.
He's completely healed and he's completely made whole.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'm going to work hard, I'm going to work strong, and I'm going to do it in the Lord's strength. And so, praise God, we can see the results, we can see the victory. And so we'll continue to walk in that same way, knowing that God is a good God and his provision is abundant for every grace we need. Amen.
Praise God. According to the MRIs, it's impossible for him just to stand up like that. They say that 1/3 of his brain is dead. He shouldn't even be alive, much less able to do anything. And yet they stood there, and Debbie and him just stood and countered these things. But most people put more importance on what the doctor has to say. Most people are more moved by what the lawyer has to say, than what the news has to say, than what God's Word has to say. I pray with people all of the time, and they say, all right, I'm going to go back to the doctor, and I'm going to find out if this is true. Man, I'm not saying that you ignore the natural realm or say that sickness doesn't exist. I'm not saying you don't go to a doctor, but I'm telling you, if the reason you aren't going to believe until the doctor says you're healed, then you probably aren't going to be healed. You're going to have to get to the point that you believe what the Word of God says in spite of the negative reports, in spite of the things that are said. And there's not very many people like that. We live in a world of unbelief, and it says here, talking about Lot, that as he lived among them, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day in seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds.
Join us again tomorrow as Andrew continues his teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in How to Stay Positive in a Negative World is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this first CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a Gift of Any Amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you are being blessed by this teaching, and not only is it helping you, but you know that there are many people that just haven't heard this good news that God loves them and wants them well, and you're excited about the word going out. You know, I'd like to ask you, if you haven't yet become a partner with us, to please become a partner and help us get this truth out. We spend close to $1 million a month in just television and radio airtime, and it's about to increase dramatically. And I couldn't do that by myself. The only reason I can do this is because other people recognize that God is using this ministry to set people free and get the truth to them, and they want to help. And so we have people who are partners. If you haven't yet become a partner, we have a number on your screen. I encourage you to call today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp this week, May 28th through the 31st, in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival, and in Colorado Springs for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd. He'll also be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th, in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th. Tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
But they allowed themselves to be discouraged. They listened to the negative report of other people, and because of it, it cost an entire generation their life.